And welcome back to Proverbs 28. This is the B-side of our discussion on this wisdom-packed chapter. We'll jump back into that recording just where we left off in our discussion with Jonathan Ferguson, Ryan McCarter, and yours truly. We're at verse 20 of chapter 28, so take it away, me. Can I do that? Can I introduce myself? Maybe I should get somebody else to do this. Anyone want to record the intro for me? My dog Luigi is just staring at me, so I'm going to take that as a no. Anyway, let's get back to it. Maybe I'll figure out a better plan for the next one. Jonathan, I want to know about you. You and I did youth ministry together. Great mm-hmm. ministry. We had stable work. Both of us chased missionary ideas out into the field.
Yes.
Mississippi, Nairobi, family in tow for both of us. We both hit major financial crisis on the mission field. So looking back, what does verse 19 say about ministry and mission?
All right. Before we get into that, I think we need to make sure that we remind everybody who's listening that Proverbs, they illustrate general principles, not laws. So hard work will bring abundance most of the time.
Right, general rule.
Right. There's times where disasters, crime, or other forces outside of ourselves can ruin all of our plans and hard work. That being said, when we were there in Kenya, there were times we struggled financially, but we had to learn to rely on God for our provision. We never knew what we'd be getting in each month for our support. So from month to month, there were times we might have plenty coming in for over a period of months, and we're like, this is great, but you never quite knew what was happening the next month. And so we had to learn to trust in God for it. And so that was what we had to learn to do. We had to we had the plans. We had all those things like Ryan was talking about, and we just had to trust that God was going to provide for us.
Yeah, this combination of trusting God and planning. You know, when we started through the Word, I wondered many times if I was chasing fantasies because I was going broke, so I seemed to fit that part of the verse pretty well. But if you look back at 19, it says, those who work their land. See, I was always a dreamer since I was little, but ministry taught me the difference between dreamer and visionary. I think the difference is the land. In the verse, the one working the land and the one chasing the fantasies are the same in that they're both after something that isn't there. The land starts bare, but it has potential. But the fantasy chaser, it's all in his head. It's just a dream. Mm-hmm. Get discovered. Get my big break. I'm just going to get rich out of nowhere. The one working land sees opportunity, understands soil and seed, gets to work, clearing, plowing, planting, watering, weeding. It works in farming, it works in business, it works in ministry.
Right.
You see opportunity and you work towards that, but you know how the land works. And you're not just chasing something that is completely unrealistic. Mm. Now, I actually want to connect that in the next verse, 28:20. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished.
Yeah.
Again, this one's about work. There's a reward for faithfulness. Be true to your boss, to God, to your friends. Be faithful about your work, and you will be richly blessed. The contrast, though, one eager to get rich, also translated hasty for riches. You see, haste is when you want the prize without the work. Jump to the finish line. Get discovered. Get your big break without paying your dues. That kind of person is the opposite of faithful. There's no perseverance, no sticking to it. If it doesn't work fast, you just give up. You don't care about people. You just care about the money, and it will not go unpunished. Ryan, what do you see in the business world? I'm curious what you have to say on this one.
Oh, man. I mean, I've heard story after story about men who just mow over everything in their life to gather as much riches as they possibly can. You know, the outcome is always the same. No family, no friends, no faith. They're all alone talking about, you know, what they should have, could have, would have done. You know, there's something wonderful about being faithful and working consistently hard over a period of time. You enjoy the tremendous blessings along the journey. It's a little cliche, but there's so much value in that, and there's so much that we can glean from the journey along the way.
Yeah.
The blessing is never the money. That's a byproduct. And when we get that straight, things start to unwind. When we are faithful to our employees, bosses, God, our friends, we are richly blessed continually during the journey and even more so at the end.
Nice. Jonathan, what do you think about this one in mission and ministry? How does this apply?
I would say that we need to make sure that we're taking the time to properly be trained. If we're going out onto the mission field, there's so many people that rush out in haste, whether it's on a short-term trip or a long-term trip without being properly prepared for what's going to be happening out there. From the time that we knew that we were called to go out there to the time we actually moved was over 4 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
4 years of prep work, because God wasn't quite done working on us, and obviously he still is always working on us, but we spent that time trying to learn the culture, trying to learn some of the language if we could, understand proper ways of, you know, relating back to our home church back here. But we have to take the time in order to do that, you know, and being faithful in those little things over those times of preparation, there will be a rich blessing for those who do that. But those who are eager or hasty to just, I'm just going to get out there and just give them Jesus. I'm just going to go love on them.
Skip to the end.
No, you end up burning out, overwhelmed, culture shocked. You got to be careful.
Offending people cross-culturally.
You're offending everybody. You're offending the people who support you back home. You're offending the people you're trying to minister to. Huh. And you end up getting totally burned out and you wipe out.
Well, let's move on to verse 26. Ryan, what'd you get there?
Absolutely. So in verse 26, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. I see this every day in the business world, people trusting only in themselves. You know, I lived this for far too long also, and I still have a sin tendency to do it and always bet on myself. And you know what happens? I inevitably make a fool of myself. It just is going to happen. Hmm. I love this verse because of the wisdom we can walk in through Jesus. Since Jesus is wisdom, who better to walk with to keep us safe? There's such a wonderful connection in these proverbs between Jesus and wisdom. Just watch out for it. It's there.
Yeah. It's throughout Proverbs, you got to be looking for Jesus. Those who walk in wisdom. Well, the walk with Jesus is a walk in wisdom. He leads us in that, and it has to be grounded into our walk. Hmm. And we don't trust in ourselves. That's part of following Jesus, trusting in him. Hmm. Well, we got one verse to go. Just a verse later, verse 27. Jonathan, what you got for us?
Right, Proverbs 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Mm. You know, a couple of us, at least, you know, Chris and myself, we live here in Southern California, home of the perfect weather, which means we have a very large population of homeless people who are looking to avoid the extremes of, say, Texas over here.
It's not that extreme.
Okay,
that extreme.
Right.
But
with so many,
man.
Yeah, with so many poor people around, it's easy to become jaded to them, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've already discussed the idea of hard work bringing abundance, and here we have these men and women on the street that are, they're just dealing with the consequences of laziness and drug use, right? Mm-hmm. But look, all the excuses that we make about why we're not helping them, they're often just us trying to justify not helping. We just want to justify why I want to keep that $5 or want to keep the extra burger that they put in the McDonald's bag for me instead of helping somebody out. And yes, there are a lot of people in the street by choice or because of results of drug use or things like that. But what happens when they actually want to get off the streets? You know, here at the church, we see a lot of people coming in that genuinely want to get off the streets. Are we going to just say, well, you made your bed and now go lie in it? Or are we going to actually help them? When we give to those who are in need, we ourselves will not experience that need.
The homeless problem is a complex problem.
Yes,
that
it is.
Requires wisdom. If ever there was a problem that required some wisdom, because you're going to run into all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're certainly going to run into lazy. You'll run into a lot of mental illness on the street. Mm-hmm. So our church, Refuge Long Beach, is an interesting place. I'd say about 60% of our people are either recovering from addiction or homeless or were homeless when they started with us or in a shelter. And it's an interesting ministry, beautiful place to go to church. I love it. But when somebody who's listened to Through the Word shows up, sometimes I'm a little surprised
interesting.
at what they run into at our church. But man, is it an adventure in God-changing lives. But it is tricky business because I am not a person who gives to panhandlers. Mm-hmm. I'm not because – and I was, I think when I was a brand new Christian, thought – because I got to help. And then when I actually got involved in their lives, realized I was not actually helping. And when I talked to the people who were involved with the homeless, that handing out money is not a way to fix problems. In fact, you often encourage more of it. And And you encourage, you know, for some people they need the help, but a lot of the time it's not. So it's a complex problem, but the solution is not to close your eyes to them.
Right.
He who gives to the poor does not necessarily mean handing them some money,
right.
But it means genuinely helping them out, and that takes more work than just handing them some money. It means working through a program, helping out a program. There are a lot of ministries who do help. So if you think to yourself, I want to hand this guy some money, I'd say log that thought and give to a program that really makes a difference in lives, because it takes a lot more than $5 to make a difference in their lives. But we should make a difference. We should do something about it. And people do. And there are programs that make a tremendous difference. There are churches that make a tremendous difference. Be a part of that. For me, especially with my kids, it was really getting to know them, talking to them, having a conversation, caring about someone means a lot more than $5. And occasionally I go buy a burger for them and we'll do something. I don't have it down perfect. There's not a great it requires wisdom and it's tough. Well, thanks guys for joining in chapter 28. I'm going to close out here and we will meet you all back in Proverbs chapter 29.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. You can find this audio guide and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. The app is free and free to share. So tell your friends and take the journey together. We're your listener supporter, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.
Remember to pause every time there's a space there.
I know. That was practice because you were turning off the thing.
That was good practice. You didn't sound so good. I thought it was for real.